Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Bechoros Daf Hey. We begin 14 lines from the top of the Amud with some interesting questions posed by this fellow called Quintarukas. He was a Roman officer, and he approaches no less than Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai with some challenging slash antagonistic questions. Shal Quintarukas Hasar. So this fellow asked, S. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Number one, I have a question. Bifratan Shalavim, take a look at the detailed accounting of the Levim, Rashi explains. The familial count, meaning in the Gershon family, the Pasuk states, there were 7,500 Levim. Kohas had 8,600. Merari family of Levim had 6,200. Total, 22,300. That's if you count them up family by family. But then when you refer to the total tally of all the Levim, which were counted in order to determine how many can exempt the Bechorim amongst the Bnei Yisrael, who are going to be sort of swapped Bechor for Levi, how many Levim in total? 22,000 even. So if you count them up individually by family, it's 22,300. And then we only get 22,000. What happened to the 300? That's his question. So again, Shal Kuntrukas Asar, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Bifrat and Shalavim, in the individual counts, when you tally up the families of Levim, Atamaitse, you come up with Esr Mishnaim Elav Shlesh Meis, 22,300. Bechlolon, but in the general count, Atamaitse, you come up with 22,000. Even Esther Mishnaim Olav. I have a question. Voisan Shalosh Shmeyos Leichon Hochul. Where did those 300 disappear to? Amar Leisi says, oh, not so quick. What was the purpose of counting all the Levim together? 22,000. To match them up with the firstborn Yisraelim, which up until that point who had Kedusha were designated for service, you know, to bring the Karbanos. Going forward, it's going to be Levim instead. So it's going to be one per one. So one Levi sort of addresses, absolves, exempts, is a swap, a switch for one Bechor. Now, suppose the Levi himself was also a Levi and also a firstborn. So he has to first accommodate his own Bechor element within himself. Swap Bechor for Levi element within himself before he can look over and take care of the Yisrael. So once he's done it for himself, once the Levi element within him took over for the Bechor element, it is no longer available. The Levi element within him cannot exempt the Bechor Yisrael. And so happens, guess how many Levim were actually firstborns as well? 300. So technically there were more Levim, but 300 of them were Bechorim, who were not able to exempt Bechor Yisrael. In fact, because of that, there was a spillover. Because amongst the Bnei Yisrael, they discovered 22,273 Bechorim. So those 273 were unaccounted for, not accommodated by the Levim. They had to redeem themselves using money, etc., right? So that's the answer to your question. Nobody disappeared. Amar Lei says, Oysen Shalishmeo is those 300 Levim that you're speaking of, Bechor is how they themselves were first born. Vein Bechor Mavki Bechor, and Bechor, a Levi Bechor cannot be Mavki, I cannot exempt a Bechor amongst Bnei Yisrael. My time, you know why? I'm Rabbi, a Dayo Le Bechor, it's enough for the Bechor. He's limited in power. At most, he can just accommodate his own kedusha, shiafkeh kedushas atzmai. The Levi who happens to be a Bechor first has to accommodate his own Bechor element and convert that into Levi, and then he's done. So they were unavailable to accommodate Israel. Next question he had was like this, a bit more of a direct antagonistic approach here. He says, Voichol, I asked him another question. Begiboy kesef. Let's talk money. Okay, when they collected the machzis ha-shekel, all the Bnei Yisrael contributed machzis ha-shekel, how many donors did we have? Well, it was only, 20 to 60 years old, so it's 603,550 machzis ha-shekels. Okay, so begiboy kesef atamoyts, if you tally up, how much was collected in that collection, atamoyts, you find, masayim v'achas kikor v'achas asrimana. So let's just clarify the terms here. We have the machzis ha-shekel. A shekel can also be referred to as selah in the Gemara, which is comprised of four dinar. A mana is comprised of 100 dinar, which is 25 selah, 25 shekel, each one having four dinar. A kikar, as we know, it is 60 mana for 1,500 selah, 1,500 shekel. Okay? So, for starting with a grand total of 603,550 halves, machzis shekels, how many kikar does that amount to? So, according to Kuntarukas' accounting, it should get you 201 kikar and 11 mana. Dechsev, as the pasuk says, Bekal Gulgulis, machzis shekel, Beshekel HaKodesh. Each one of these yidden donated a half a shekel. Okay, so now 603,550 halves, how many holes is that? So basically like this. A kikar is 1,500 whole shekel. So 300,000 halves gets you 100 kikar, right? The kikar is 300 halves. So 300,000 halves gets you 100 kikar. That takes care of 300,000 plus another 300,000, so it's 200 kikar. You're left with 3,000, right, which is another kikar, and 550, which is 11 mana. Because 550 halves is 275 holes. Divided by 25, right, 25 per mana, it's 11. So the grand amount, the grand total was 201 kikar and 11 mana. However, when it came down to transferring the money, it all disappears. When it came to, accounting for the money, to using it for whatever, they didn't have nearly half that amount. When it came to accounting for the money, it all disappeared. We only find ma'as kikar, 100 kikar left from the whole amount. 100 kikar of this silver to form the base of the krushim, the adonim. What happened to the rest of the money? It's less than 50%. Where did it disappear to? Look, and he speaks very disrespectfully and harshly, and the Gemara presumably brings it just to, bring out his point. Moshe Rabchem, Moshe your Rebbe, Ganavoy, was he a thief? Kuvyustus hoya, or a kidnapper? So he swiped half the Jews to the side, so nobody can have an accounting of what happened, of how many were. A different shot could use this as a gambler, and he just splurged the money, disappeared. Oh yeah, any bokeh b'cheshboinu. So perhaps he wasn't knowledgeable in basic math. No son mechza, but not a mechza. He only released half the money, took half. Mechza shalom yichz. Even the part that he released was less than the half. Amalis, he says, rest assured, there was nobody like Moshe in honesty, integrity. Moshe Rabbeinu Gizbar Nemanoye, he was the utmost trustworthy treasurer. He knew math very well, but you're the one making a mistake. The value in matters of Kodesh, of Hegdesh, is actually double the standard. Tosis points out there was no mana then. It's just an expression. The kikar. It's reference to our discussion. The kikar is really double its value. So you claim there's money missing? No, the 100 kikar that we speak of was really 200 kikar. And actually, the leftovers didn't disappear either. Rashi actually brings us a pasuk that there was another expenditure that required 1775 shekel, 1,775, used for the vavim, you know, the hooks for the amudim. And the Kuntrukas knew about that pasuk, and Rashi says he just conveniently ignored it to, you know, make a better case for himself. So in actuality, we discovered everything, nothing missing at all. You claimed it was a grand total of 201 and 11 mana? Yeah, the 200 kikar were accounted for, because 100 is really 200. The extra kikar and the 11 mana, which is 1775 shekel, that's discussed in the other pasuk. Done deal. Habibar Rav Achoy. No, Rav Achoy wasn't sure what this man even had in mind. What was his question? Ma'ke kashile. Vahim ma'az kikar kesel atzekes? That they merely came up with 100 kikar to make the formation of the... Yeah, well, 100 kikar for that purpose. And the rest was put in the treasury. Who says that that's all there was? Hanach, these were latzekes to form the vinach begaz, and the rest went to the treasury. What was his problem? Answer, kasa krachrino, we have another pasuk, which actually gives us a grand total of the collection, because of kudi eda, mas kikar. Okay, so that's pretty clear, that the grand total was only 100. That triggered his question, to which the answer was, it was really double the value. Okay, that's a big leap. But the Ka'amalei, regarding the answer that he gave, manash al kodesh kafal hoya, the value of kodesh is really double the standard. Nali, how does he know that? Ilayim aminei. The chsev is from the psukim over here, describing the collection and the allocation of monies, which proves this point. How? Sharikan shivim bechad mana. Because in terms of that other expenditure that we mentioned, the 1775, which were made for the used for the hooks, asavavim lamudim. In reality, 1775 can be simplified and referred to as 71 mana, right? A mana is 25, so times 71 is 1775, which is really even simpler. 1775, if you deduct 1500. Gets you a kikar. So a kikar plus 11 mana. Why spell it out and change? You know, 17. So rather than package them as a kikar and 11 mana, we call it 1775. Why? Vimisa, if it is true that a kikar, in reference to Kodesh, is the same exact value as choyl, unlike our assertion that it was really doubled. So why bother speaking about 1,700? The Torah should have bundled it up together. 1775 is 1,500 for a kikar and 275 for 11 mana. For a total of plus the 100 mana, the 100 kikar discussed earlier. So it's 101 kikar plus 11 mana. The fact that the pasuk did not take that route and lump it up as a kikar, rather referred to it as loose change, 1775, that confirms our theory that mana shel kodesh kafal haya, that the terms with respect to karbon to kachim is really double the value, in which case 1775 doesn't even amount to one kikar, because a kikar now is 3,000 coins. And that explains why we were compelled to spell it out as 1775. Well, who says? Maybe not. Maybe, really, 1775 is a kikar plus 11 mana. The reason why the Torah did not refer to it as such, adding it to the 100 and turning it into 101 kikar, because the Torah doesn't refer to kikrim as single numbers. Kikar is big thing, it's 100 kikar, it's a grand way of referring to things. Maybe that's the only it's a semantics thing. But then, perhaps klali kachasha, a kikri. When the pasuk refers to kikarim, it's only in hundreds. Pratli kachasha, but not in less than that, not in, you know, single numbers, a kikri. So you can't really prove anything from this pasuk. Rather, from the following pasuk, I will prove that kodesh is double the value. Nuchoshes at nufashivim kikar v'arba'im v'arba meos shekel. Okay, so regarding the copper that was collected, we have 70 kikar v'alpa'im v'arba meos shekel and 2,400 shekel. Now, why spell it out as 2,400 shekel? Why not just lump it up, group it together? Instead of 2,400 shekel, 1,500 turns into a kikar, plus the rest is 36 mana. 36 times 25 is the rest. Sharakan tishim shishim mana, because at 2,400 you really have 96 mana, 96 times 25, which can be further grouped into a kikar plus 36 mana. Instead of doing it that way, instead of just adding it to the 70 kikar, saying instead of 70 kikar plus 24, say 71 kikar plus 36 mana. Instead, and here you see clearly the Torah refers to kikarim even in lesser amounts than hundreds. It says 70 kikar, just say 71. Instead, the Torah decides to refer to them as 2,400 shekel. Why? Shema mina. That confirms that in fact, mana shel kodesh kafal hoya. And the kikar of kodesh is really double. 3,000 coins instead of 1,500. So 2,400 doesn't cut it. And we're compelled to count them out separately. Well, v'duma prata rabba kachash. Perhaps, really, it amounts to a kikar plus 36 mana. Why don't we mention it as a kikar? Because although the pasuk does refer to kikarim as 70, 80, but that's because it's tens, in tens. Prata rabba kachashiv. Smaller numbers, but in tens. So either hundreds or tens. The kikar when it talks about kikarim. Prata zut lo kachashiv, perhaps smaller individual numbers like 1, 2, 3, that's not a way to refer to kikarim. Bikikri. So that's the only reason why I didn't lump it up. I'll prove to you from a pasuk in Yecheskel that the manash HaKodesh was double the regular. Hashekel Eshem Geira. A shekel is comprised of 20 geira, 20 cents. How much is a mana? A mana is typically 100 dinar. Here goes. Eshem Shkolem, 20 shekel. Now shekel is 4 dinar. Plus Hamisha Eshem Shkolem, plus 25. Plus Asar V'Hamisha Shekel, plus 15. Total of 60 shekel times 4 dinars, 240 dinar. How much is comprised of all this? Return time and base. Really? Isn't the money supposed to be just 25 shekel, which is 100 dinar? How do you get to 240? But Muslim Rabbar and Havi, how do you get to 240? El Shmami, no. That nails it. Mana shel kodesh mana kafal hoya. A mana of kodesh is double the regular. Instead of 100, it's 200. Oh, 1 second, but we're adding even to that. We're adding a sixth to 240. So first, mana shel kodesh mana kafal hoya. You know it's double. Shmamina, furthermore, second point, Moisif and Alamides. The community has the ability, has the power to add, to enlarge the measurements or the value of the money, but up to a sixth, so as not to confuse the markets. And that you know from here, because 200 turned into 240, and you also know that the sixth is the external sixth, a sixth of the total amount. Extra 40 is a sixth of 240. So the sixth is Mulvar, an external sixth. Okay, so that answers our question. We see that Kodesh doubles. 100 kikos is really 200, and that accounts for all the money. Amar B'chanina, next point. Sha'alti is Rabbi Eliezer, Beis Moshe Rabba. I met Rabbi Eliezer in the big Beis HaMedrash and asked him a question that pertains to our sugya. Manishtanu, oh, the right language for this week. Manishtanu. Pitri chamoirim. Pitri susim v'gmalam. Why are the firstborn donkeys privileged to be committed to the mitzvah of Petri chamor over other firstborn non-kosher varieties like horses and camels? Amarli, there's a kosofi. First of all, it's the pasuk, that's it. That's how Hashem decided. Furthermore, let me give you a little bit of a personal insight. Shesiu es Yisrael is an expression of gratitude because they helped us on the way out of Egypt. They carried our gold and silver that we took from the Mitzrayim. Shesiu es Yisrael, b'chas es Mitzrayim, they helped us on the way out of Mitzrayim. because every single Jew walked out. It's a huge. Shipment of gold and silver. There wasn't a single member amongst Israel. I didn't have with him no less than 90 Libyan donkeys, good, strong donkeys. To Unim, laden, Mikasp of Zavashal Mitzrayim, filled with the silver and gold of Mitzrayim. And in his expression of gratitude, Akarat HaToyv Hashem gave them the schus of being involved in a mitzvah. Mitzvah is petach hamor. It's very similar to the Akarat HaToyv that Hashem expresses to the Torah, expresses to the cloven, the dog that didn't bark on the way out of Mitzrayim, and instructed us to feed them the unkosher meat, the treifa. Hashem keeps track. Hashem does not withhold the reward of even a dog, of a donkey. Furthermore, I asked him, my Lashon Refidim, the Pasuk relates then, when we came to Refidim, Amalek attacked us. The word Refidim, any significance to it? Or is it just the name of the place? Amalek says, Refidim Shema just happens to be the name of the place. I know of no other, you know, significance to that word. But actually, it's Machlekes Tanim Ketanoi. Rav Lezer Omer, Refidim Kishma. Okay, so that's a simple meaning. Rav Shua Omer, no. Sheripu Atzm Divrei Torah. Refidim means to be lax. And when their commitment to learning Torah was weakened, that opened the door to attack from Amalek. Bechenu Omer, as we find it in a different pasuk. How the connection to Torah gives us power. The fathers couldn't help us, they were helpless. To help their kids, because of their laxity in learning Torah. Next question I asked them. My Lashon Shitim. Any explanation to the word Shitim, which is where they encountered the women of Moab and they sinned. V'amali says Shitim Shema. No, it just happens to be the name of the place. Ketanoi, which is a machlokes tanaim. Lezer Omer, Lezer himself, as we just said Shitim Shema is just the name of the place. Shoyim, no, it has deeper meaning, which relates to the event that took place there. Asku d'rishtus, they were involved in silliness, in matters of sin which have no true value. Another machlok is regarding that episode. The pasuk says that tikrena, they called out, but the tikrena Rashi says mashma that they really encounter them. But the tikrena l'om l'zukhali heyhen, they called them, invited them to the offerings of their gods. Rabbeinu Zayim Arumah is pogben, the women encountered them undressed. Abishoyim shenasu kolam bali keri, and because of this experience, the Bnei Yisrael became bali keri. It had an adverse effect on them. Hence the word Batikrena, which is Bali Keri. Okay. Talking of which, says the Mishnah, Paro Sheyolda Min Chamar. So we learn about Petar Chamar, which applies to the firstborn donkey. But let's say there's a disparity in resemblance between the offspring and the mother animal. Paro Sheyolda Min Chamar. Say we have a kosher, a cow, giving birth to something that looks like a donkey. It's a firstborn kosher animal, right? So it seems. Now we know there are two categories of firstborn animals. Firstborn kosher is kodesh, kedushas, aguf, inherently kodesh, given to the kohen as a karban. Whereas firstborn donkey is kedushas damim. It's a limited kedusha. It's a monetary obligation, pretty much, that you have to redeem it and give the set to the kohen. So what happens if the offspring in both of these situations is very dissimilar to its mother? It's called a nidme, okay, dissimilar to the mother in its appearance. Par sheldim chamar, or a chamar, a mother donkey sheldim kimin sus, gives birth to something which appears like a horse. Peturo ben amchor, in both cases, it's fully exempt from bechor shenemar. Peter chamar, peter chamar, says it twice, shnei pa'amim. Mother and offspring have to look alike. Ashe ayoyleid chamar, the mother who's giving birth is a donkey, and the offspring likewise resembles a donkey. What about eating these entities? Is it about what it looks like, or about its source? Answer is, it's all about its source, irrespective of its appearance. Behemah tahira, so it's a kosher animal. Sheol de kmin behemah, to make a birth to something which appears unkosher, mutabachil eat it, gezuntait. And vice versa as well. To make sheol de kmin behemah tahira, a non-kosher animal gives birth to something which appears like a kosher animal, also bachil, you can't eat it. Why? Very simple. Shayetzim and atami tami, something which emerges from something unclean is unclean. And vice versa. Shayetzim and atoritor. Now, also, we have another mission which discusses the aloha of nidme, which again means the offspring being dissimilar to the mother. Near the focus is on the kosher firstborn animals. Rachel shiolda ben eis, sheep gives birth to a goat, or vice versa. Ve'ez shiolda ben rachel, patim nabchar, it's exempt from bechara. But if there's some resemblance, in reish b'mitzah siman, it appears somewhat like the mother, chayev, then it is considered a true bechara. But how do we know that similarity and resemblance is critical to the status of the offspring? Of Ravida comes Ravida with a totally different pasuk. Dama Kra, the pasuk says like this. Pasuk reads like this: Ach bechor shor, but a bechor of a shor, a bull; oy bechor kesev of a sheep; oy bechor eiz of a goat. Right, so etc. etc. It's kadosh, and the fats are put on the mizbeach. Now, why did the pasuk have to repeat bechor, 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 instead of just ach shor kesev eiz? We know the context there is about a bechor. Coming to teach us, offspring has to resemble the mother. Dama kra ach b'char shor, to tell you, sheihu shor b'char shor, the offspring has to look like a shor, just like the mother. B'char kesev means, sheihu kesev b'char kesev, offspring has to look like a sheep, like just like the mother. B'char eiz tells us, sheihu eiz b'char eiz. Same with the goats. Yochel afilu eish b'mitzah simanin. So otherwise it's exempt. What if it somewhat resembles the mother? Is that also exempt? Tamalim, no, ach, ach means, but, chalak, that puts it aside, differentiates. If there's some resemblance, that's okay. Now, how does that work with our Mishnah, which came from a different pasuk? V'atana, but Tana and our Mishnah, Peter, Peter, Konosavlei, Lepara. He exempted the offspring of the Parah because of the duplicity of the, Peter, 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 Chomer, Tamar. And here, Rav Yehuda comes with a totally different pasuk. Yeah, there are two approaches, two Tanaim. Hudamakir, Rabbi Yisak Lili. Rav Yehuda was based on Rabbi Yisak Lili, who in fact sources this halacha from that pasuk of Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesev, and Bechor Eiz. The Sanya, we have a Braisa, basically the Yomer. Okay, back to this pasuk. Ach Bechor Shor teaches us, Achehu Shor Bechor Shor. The words Bechor Kesev teaches, Achehu Kesev, Bechor Kesev. They have to look alike. The words Bechor Eiz teaches us, the same regarding the goats, Achehu Eiz Bechor Eiz. He's totally dissimilar, he's exempt. What about some similarity? Yochel afilu yesh b'mikzah siman, if it's somewhat similar, is he also exempt? No, tamalim, ah, chalak, that's different, and that's kaddish. So that is Rabbi Yisak Lili's approach, versus our Tana, who bases his halacha on the duplication of the words petachamer, petachamer. B'mai kamilfli, what's the machlokes about? Very simple, Tana didan sover, the Tana of our Mishnah, whose starting point is petachamer, he holds, look, gali rachman b'kdish hastam, and once the Torah reveals to us that resemblance is critical regarding Kedushas Damim, monetary Kedusha, monetary obligation of the firstborn donkey, well then the same exact concept will be applied to the first kosher animal, Kedushas Aguf, which is inherently kosher. If it's not resembling the mother, it's exempt. Rabbi Yisrael Saver, he goes with the other approach. He starts with Gal Rachman of Kedushas Aguf. He has the pasuk regarding the firstborn kosher, which is Kedushas Aguf. Anidma is Potter, what in the same exact concept will apply to firstborn donkey, which is called Mekdushas Dam. V'gomar Mekdushas Dam, Mekdushas Aguf, and he learns the rules of the donkey from the rules of the goat, sheep, etc. Okay, V'tana did that. Now, our Tana of our Mishnah, who is sourced in Petach Amor, stated twice, what does he do with this extra pasuk of Ach Bechor Shor, Ay Bechor Kesev, Ay Bechor Eiz? V'tana did that, Hai Bechor, Bechor, Mayavad, what does he do with it? Maybe Barley's needed for something else. To tell us that the facts of all these variations, all these Bechiris, go on the Mizbech, which we wouldn't know unless the Torah spelled it out case by case. And Barley, look at Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Damar, as was said by Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Lamo Namro Emurin, Bechir Shoir. Why would the Torah have to speak about the Emurin, the facts, being put on the Mizbech, whether it comes from Bechir Shoir, whether from Bechir Kesef, or Bechor Eiz? Why spell it out on all three? Lama nemer emurim b'bchor shor, emurim b'bchor kesef, emurim b'bchor eiz, tzricha, it's all needed. Why? You can't learn one from the other. Perhaps only this one, because he's unique, but not the other one. Perhaps vice versa, right? You have an element of an advantage in this over that one, and vice versa. Dikas rachmona b'chor shor. The Torah only tells us the imurn of the shor, regalim is be'ach, yesh, ken shrabu b'nasacham, a shor, ooh, he's unique. His nasacham are of a much greater quantity than the other ones. Six lug of wine, etc. So you can't compare the other ones to the shor. Kesev, if it only says kesevs, you know, fats go on the mizbeach, shkein shabba ba'al, yeah, sure, the kesev, because he has an advantage, his tail goes on the mizbeach as well, as opposed to the other ones. If it would only say be'ez, that the emurin of the b'chur ez go on the mizbeach, yeah, I would understand shkein nisrabba eitzal v'zkechon v'yachet. Has an advantage over the rest, because if an individual sins with a desire, he brings a goat carbon. So each one has a uniqueness. You can't compare, you can't match it up. Chadam chad le'asi, understand why you can't learn one from the other one. Okay, but it still doesn't have to say all three. Perhaps two would be enough. And you would sort of draw a commonality between the two, make a common denominator, and learn the third one from this. Teisi chad mitat, they learn one from the other two. Okay, let's explore. Ba'ai le'lichtav, which one do you want to omit and allow it to learn from the rest? Perhaps, lo'ai lichtav rachmona b'shor, leave out shor, v'teisi menach, learn from the Kesev and the A's, you can't do that. Malanach shkenis shrabba etzel psachim. Ah, nyana diayma. It's perfect. Very unique because the carbon pesach is sourced from those two types of animals, sheep and the goats, as opposed to the shur, which just doesn't qualify. So you can't learn shur from the other ones. Maybe they have an advantage. Okay, look at the kesev. Leave out kesev. Teis manach, learn from the shur and the A's. No, that's not going to work. Malanach. There's something unique about those two, which is not found by the Kesev. Shekein Yisrael, Bois, Lavis, Chom, Betzibor. If the public sins in Avodah Zarah, they bring a par for an oila and a sor for chatos. So maybe only there Bechor has a murn, but not the Kesev. Okay, one last shot. Loi nichtav rachmon abeis, leave out the A's. If it tastes manach, learn from the other two. No, malahanach. They have one up over the A's. Shekein Yeshbem tzad ribu etzum izbeach. The shor has an advantage regarding his contribution to the mizbeach. He has greater nesachim, bigger amounts. And the kesef has that tail. So you can't learn any from any hilchos trichi. That compels the Torah to spell it all out. Emurin of the shor, kesef and eis are brought to the mizbeach. Now Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, who already used up this pasuk of Ach Bechor, etc., for his purposes to teach that a Nidma is exempt. So once it's been used up, unavailable to teach us the Aloch of Emurin by all three types. How does he know Emurin by all three types? He responds, Kain, because if it were only to teach us the Emurin Halacha, Lichtav Kro Ach Bechor Shor Kesef Eis. Okay, spell it out, but without repeating the word Bechor. Just say Ach Bechor Shor Kesef Eis. And you know the fats of each one go on his back. Bechor, Bechor, Lamali, why repeat Bechor near each one? El Lashma, we know, apparently it's to teach us the resemblance factor is important. Achye, who shor, Bechor, Yashor, the offspring have to resemble the mother. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, who sourced the halacha of Nidme from Bechor, 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 what will he do with the pasuk of our Mishnah? The duplication of Beteta Rechem. Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, I Peter Chamor, Peter Chamor, what does he do with that? The answer is, he needs it, look at the sanya for the following halach. Oh, Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, it's him himself speaking. Oh, he says, if only the pasuk of Ach Padeh Sifta is par Adam, Sechar Behemoth, Mea Tifta, redeem the firstborn human, firstborn non-kosher animal. All non-koshers, camels and horses as well. Shemani, I would deduce, I feel a picture, says, V'chamer, V'gmalim, even firstborn horses and camels. Tamalem petach hamar. No, it's only the donkey. Peter, Chamor, Matach only applies to firstborn donkey and none others. V'loi Pitri Sisim Mikmal. I can still insist that Pitri Chamor Beset, the concept of redemption, applies to all non-kosher firstborns. What's unique about the donkey? By him, it needs to be a Seh, a sheep. But Pitri Sisim Mikmal, other firstborns, B'chol Dover. You could switch with any animal. But maybe they all require switching. That's what I would think. We turn to the next page. Talmud Leimar comes the pasuk and repeats it again. Petachamar, petachamar, twice, nei pa'amim. This mitzvah is unique to the donkeys and donkeys only. Pitri chamor matulach only applies to the firstborn donkeys. Avloi pitri is mgmal as opposed to the other animals. Parach rachay said rachay, hold it, not so quick. Even with this duplication, you still haven't really proven, because look, ikos rachmana chat. Let's take it step by step. Let's say the Torah only says Petar Chamer once. After having told us that all, seemingly told us that all non-koshers have this halacha, b'chor b'himat me'a tifte, then it says Petar Chamer, donkeys. You know what I would say? I mean, I would think the donkeys were really included in that general reference to all non-kosher, right? Davashai b'chlal. So we apply the formula. It's one of the 13 formulas of desertion. Davashai b'chlal. Something which had been included in the bundle. V'yotzim rachal, then singled out and highlighted. Donkey was included, now was highlighted by name. L'lamed, it's coming to teach. But, lo l'lamed al atzma yotzim. Not just to reveal his own status, elo l'lamed ala klal kula yotzim. Rather, to clarify the status of the whole grouping of all the non-kosher animals. To tell you that what? That really, whether you're a firstborn donkey or a horse, you need to be switched with a seh. Then comes the pasuk and repeats it again. Again, to tell you, oh, one second, there is still something unique about the firstborn donkey. Pitrei chamoyrim, only firstborn donkeys and not horses and camels. But regarding what are we highlighting the status of a donkey? Regarding what are we drawing the line between donkey and the rest? Ve'ema, perhaps I can still insist, me'atunim seh. Horse and camel don't need a seh specifically. But ulo'ilum b'chaldav still needs to be switched with something. So even after all this duplication, I can still theorize that all non-koshers need to be switched. What's unique about a donkey? A seh. But maybe others can use any animal. In Cain says the Gemara, if that were the case, it would say it once, and then it would say b'chamar tifte b'se, a donkey needs to be switched with a se. But I have to say petach chamar tifte b'se twice. Petach chamar tifte b'se. Petach chamar tifte b'se. Lumbly, why say that phrase over and over again? Petach chamar again and again. Lumbly, to tell you, the whole concept is unique to donkeys only. Petach chamar matiloch. The whole concept that firstborn has any status is unique to donkeys, veloy, and not to pitrei sisim gmal, firstborn horses or camels. Now, one more piece, just to round it off. V'tana didan, l'mutar sisim gmal munale. So according to this approach, okay, we say glili, use the duplication of petach chamor to exclude other types. Now, our Tana, who already used that duplication for the halacha of nidme, right, in the Mishnah, the dissimilarity between mother and offspring, how does he know now that horses and camels are exempt? He doesn't have a pasuk. But Tana done awatana lamuti to exempt susam gemal and the other types. Well, how does he know? Amar papa, through a klal and prat system, which is another formula, right? Kol mikra chate zachar klal. All your animals, firstborn males, have kedush. And the pasuk spells it out. After this general reference, we have specifics. The Torah names it by name, identifies it. Yishor, Yisseh, the kosher types. And then it says, U'peter chamar. V'chamar. So these are specific prat. That's your classic klala prat. General, followed by specifics. And v'chal, mashma prat. The prat clarifies, elaborates on what on the klal. It limits it. It directs it to only these types. Shor, v'seh, v'chamar, in only these types, midar chinu lev, not other types, like horses and camels. Rabbi Seglili, now he's the one that had to seek a different pasuk, the double petach chamar, to exempt the horses. What was wrong with this very simple formula of klal prat? Rabbi Seglili, petev sika inyan. It's not a smooth-flowing klal prat, which is meant to be one continuum, one formula, because the words u'petach chamar start a new pasuk. U'petach chamar, it's like a disconnection from the previous pasuk, which speaks shor, v'seh. Hips again, it's a new discussion, it's a disconnect. You can't consider it like a free-flowing, continuous klal prat. V'rabban, and they respond, well, it's true. that we have an interesting word right in there, Upeter Chamor, which sort of cuts off the list. It says, Shar Vesedan Upeter Chamor, the first one. Because if it's one continuum, we just say Peter Shar Vesedan. Instead, Peter Shar Vesedan Upeter Chamor sounds like it's a new chapter. You're right, but the Vav is still a connector. Upeter Chamor connects it back to the previous items. Rabbanan Vav, the Vav, Hadar Arve Kroh, the Torah is now reconnected. So it can still be considered a klaloprat. But basically, he responds, so basically you're disconnecting, then reconnecting. What's the purpose? If that were so, that it's one continuous flow, the Torah would just leave out the word peter and the vav. Apparently, it's meant to be disconnected. For Rabbanan, they say, well, it's really a continuum, but it's somewhat different. That's why the Torah sort of separates it. Because after all, we're talking two different classes of Bechor. This is kosher, this is not kosher, this is inherently kaddish as a carbon, this is just monetarily obligated to the kohen. It's a different system, so we have a slight sort of pause between, but really it's one continuum and can be understood as a klal prat to limit it to just donkeys and not horses. For Rabbanan, Aidi, since da kedushas damim, firstborn donkey is kedushas dam, it's a monetary obligation, vok kedushas aguf, and the firstborn shor says inherently kaddish, it's a carbon. Therefore, two separate things, Pasuk Lu, Torah sort of separates, but the Avraham then reconnects it to allow us to formulate the Klal Prat and exclude other non-koshers and limit it to donkeys only. So ultimately, we arrived at the same conclusion, whether you take the Mishnah's approach or Bisaglia's approach. Firstly, we exempt a Nidme, offspring, which totally disresembles the mother animal, whether it's from this Pasuk or from that. If there's some resemblance, then it is included. We all know that Petach Hamor is limited to the Petach Hamor and not to other non-kosher animals. Okay, this is in addition to the previous piece in the Gemara. We had the tallying of the extra levim, tallying of the collected monies, and the expression of Akaras Atoiv to the Chamorim, who helped us on the way out of Mitzrayim. No, Hashem holds cup, Hashem that Imam and Lun Shalem Hashem keeps track and will give us our schar, lasad lavoi, maybe we zeiche to fulfill our missions, v'simcha, shu'av v'chakosh v'sameach, all the best, hatzlacha rab.